That's what we're going to talk about today. Follow Jesus to obedience. Because I know as soon as I say the word obedience, some of us are thinking, oh man, that sounds like somebody who thinks they're bigger or more powerful than I am, telling me what to do. And you just have to obey. Sort of like you get the whip out, crack the whip, and make the person obey. Is that what it's like? We just sang this song. Jesus calls us his friend. God calls us a friend. That's not how friends treat one another. However, we know that before Jesus came, throughout the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, it seemed like that to a lot of people. It's rules, laws, regulations, and if you break any of them, you have to do a sacrifice somewhere and all this. And you're never sure, am I really forgiven or am I not? And after Jesus came, is it any different? And by God's grace, Jesus addresses this for us in this passage this morning, and that's what we're going to take a look at. Obedience is this funny thing, though, eh? I remember Rick Mercer, CBC funny guy. He used to do interviews of politicians and so on. And way back when Mr. Harper was our prime minister, Rick Mercer went to his house, interviewed him, and then ended up sleeping over at the prime minister's residence. So that night, the prime minister's kids, they were down on their knees. They're playing hockey, ball hockey on the floor of the living room. And so they're shooting the ball around and this kind of thing, and they're yelling and making fun and everything like this. And so the prime minister, Mr. Harper, comes down the stairway and he says, okay, kids, it's time for bed. And Rick Mercer says, you're not the boss of me. This idea of somebody's trying to make me do something, you're not the boss of me. Do you ever find that in your own heart? I find it in my heart. Well, Jesus helps us to understand this morning. And I wonder if you're at home, if you want to stand as we read this, and if you're here this morning, just go ahead and stand as I read the Word of God to you, okay? It's going to come up on the screen, I think. Let's see here. I think it will come up on the screen. Well, go ahead. Could you advance that for me, please? Thank you. As the Father has loved me, I'm going to read it off the screen. Think of it. Now, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples the night before he goes to the cross, okay? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and I remain in his love. I've told you this. Listen to Jesus' heart here. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is Jesus' vision of the Christian life, okay? My command is this: love each other just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you my friends, just as we were singing this morning, right? I've called you my friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And this is my command: love each other. This is my command: love each other. Thanks. You may be seated. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. This is the context is this, that this is the last night right before the cross, that Jesus is going to the cross the very next day. He's just had the Last Supper with his disciples and a group of people gathered around, and he's talking to them just before he goes to the garden and gets betrayed and goes to the cross and so on. So as we know, people's last words are often very important, and we're going to take this as extremely important as Jesus speaks to us this morning. These are some of his last words. And what is Jesus really saying? If I could put it in sort of a flow here, you will see that love and obedience and joy are all connected together. They cannot be separated. as we read this passage of Scripture and you take a look at it again, these three things, love and obedience and joy, are all connected. They can never be pulled apart. And sometimes we might want to pull them apart. We might want to say, I'd want to get the love of God in my life, but I'm not sure I want to really obey everything. Or I really want to get the joy of the Lord in my life, but I'm not sure I want to obey like everything he said. But they're all connected. Love and obedience and joy are all connected. But my question is this: which comes first? And which is really the greatest of all the three? Love, obedience, and joy. Which one is kind of the source of the other ones and the foundation of the other ones? And if I said it was obedience, the one in the middle, some people might think that this is really the basis of the Christian life. You just obey. Just try harder. Obedience is the big thing. And obedience is what brings everything about. And you know what? If we only had verse 10, we might think that. Because if you look at verse 10 again, it says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. If that was all we had, it might seem like obedience was the most important thing. Which means that it's all up to me. It's all up to me and my obedience and you and your obedience. And if I can obey and keep all the commands, then I get his love and then I get his joy. But if I can't, and I can't, right? You can't either. If we can't, then this leads to a feeling of failure and guilt and shame. And sometimes we back the truck up and we dump this load of guilt all over ourselves for the way in which we fail and sin. If obedience is the big thing, this really leads to legalism, which is what Dan spoke about last Sunday. Legalism, that the Christian life is all about laws and rules and it's just keeping them and just try harder and do better. And it also leads to this ugly thing. Legalism leads to judging each other. Because when I think I'm doing well, I think I'm better than you are. And I look down on you and I judge you and condemn you and criticize you. One author has called this righteous meanness. When I think I'm more righteous than you are and I think I have a right to be mean towards you because you're not living up to things, that's ugly. That's not the love of Jesus. That's not the Christian life. So then obedience can't be the starting point of all this. So what is? Maybe, could it be that the love of God is the starting point of this whole flow from love to obedience to joy? Is there anything in the text that would help us see this? Let's look at verse 9, the first one. As the Father has loved me, this is Jesus speaking, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, now remain in my love. How has the Father loved Jesus? See, this is not about us. This is not even about our planet. This is about before the foundation of the world, there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this perfect relationship of unity and love. Not a natural love, a supernatural kind of a love for one another. Diversity, yes, because the Father is not the Son is not the Holy Spirit, but incredible unity and love within the diversity. And so what does the Father say about Jesus when Jesus comes to earth? You know, at least twice, the Father just couldn't hold himself back. He had to rip the heavens open and he had to say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. I love him. Listen to him. And Jesus says here to us today, as the Father has loved me, So I love you. I love you, Jesus says. The love of God How amazing is this? Can you hear Jesus saying to you, "You are my beloved daughter. In you I'm well pleased. You are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased." The love of God, what an amazing gift this is. This, the flow of love to obedience to joy has its source and its origin in the great, great love of God. It's like the love of God is this huge, huge circle. And when we believe in Jesus, when we receive him as our Savior, when we invite him in and ask him to forgive us and to cleanse us and to make us his children, he brings us into the very center of this love circle. And our obedience is just this little circle inside the big circle. His love is way bigger than that. It's sort of like a seed, right? The seed we plant in the ground just about this time of year, and it starts to grow up and it produces good stuff. It's like the seed of God's love, when it's planted in our lives, it grows up into this thing where we want to obey. And where we then experience his joy as we obey and as we walk with him. Nobody has ever loved you like this. The love of God. So, question. If Jesus loves you like this and Jesus loves me like this, why do we call ourselves by other names? Like, oh man, I'm such a failure. Oh, I'm such a loser at times. I'm such a bad Christian at times. Sometimes I feel like a phony. Imposter syndrome, we talked about this a few weeks ago, the imposter syndrome where I try to make everybody, I look as best I could on the outside, right? But people don't know how the struggles are happening inside my life, in my heart. And we accuse ourselves and we dump on ourselves. Let me ask you, who is the accuser of the sons and daughters of God? It's Satan who accuses us and who dumps all that stuff on us. Well, why would we listen to him? Can we hear Jesus say this morning, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in the circle of my love. Stay here. Don't jump out. Stay here." So why can we not hear Jesus' voice very well? Because I think we see our failures, don't we? We see our weaknesses. We see our sin patterns and our habits, and we feel it because we love Jesus, and we don't want to go there, but sometimes we go there. We step outside of sort of the love of Jesus, and we get over here and we say, oh, that action is not from Jesus. I better get back in there. Or that attitude, or those words, or that thought, that's not from Jesus. I better get back in there to the circle of his love. This does not minimize our sin or our failures. It just says that there's a greater truth than our sin and our failures. And the greater truth is this, that as the Father has loved Jesus, so Jesus loves us, and he's right beside us. If you're a Christian this morning, if you're an imperfect Christian, and every one of us says, yeah, okay, I'm an imperfect Christian. If you've trusted Jesus and invited him into your life and heart, asked him to forgive you and turn to him, then Jesus calls you a saint. And you say, well, I don't exactly feel like a saint. Jesus says, I know that, but I'm calling you a saint. And we say, well, sometimes I feel like I'm condemned. And Jesus says, there's no condemnation, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we say, sometimes I don't feel all that clean in my behaviors and so on. And Jesus says, if you confess your sins, I'm righteous and just. I'll forgive all your sins and wash them away. Cleanse them. You're adopted into God's family. Jesus has given you his Holy Spirit. This is your true identity. And when we believe this, And when we let this belief or this faith in Jesus shape our mind and shape our habits and our actions, when we really believe this about ourselves, our new identity, that shapes the way we live and it shapes our actions so that we want to obey the Lord. If we, when we see ourselves in Jesus, connected to Jesus, the passage from John 15 immediately before this is talking about us abiding in Jesus. It means sticking to him. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke about this thing of being yoked together with Jesus. And this image really helps me that Jesus is here. We're in a yoke together. He's got his arm right around us, right here, always. And when we sin, we look at him. He says, "That didn't surprise me. You need to be forgiven." And we get forgiven. He says, "Now let's go to work on that thing together." And when we fail, we look at him, we say, "Are you going to leave me?" He says, "I've already told you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you to the very end of the age. Let's work on that failure. Let me strengthen you." And we, as we stay in the circle of God's love like this, we say, "Oh man, I want to obey you. How can I obey you? Because I know your ways are better than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts." And so we begin on this pattern of increasing obedience as we bask in the love of Jesus and we stay inside there and we identify when we step out and we step back in. That's repentance, turning back in. This is so helpful for me. Every Friday morning, I pray with an international group of people on Zoom, and they're from actually all over the world. And one guy's from Iran. He was a Muslim before, and he's a lovely Christian guy now. And he's got a church in Toronto of all people from Iran. And when he prays, I love the way he prays. He just starts off this way. "Oh, good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus, precious Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being with us again." See, he's practicing the presence of the Lord with them. He sees himself yoked to Jesus with his arm right around him. He just talks with him. That's prayer, eh? It's quite beautiful. So how do we remain in the circle of God's love then? This is what we want to do. Well, we really remember who we are in Jesus. Our true identity is that we're in Christ. We're yoked together with Jesus. This is who you really are if you're a Christian, if you've invited Jesus in and turned to him. And when we believe this, it helps us to walk with the Lord day by day and to really obey him. Maybe I could put it this way. We all had an initial yes to Jesus. If you're a Christian, we had a beginning to our spiritual life when we said yes to Jesus. "You're the one. I believe in you. I want to follow you." We also need to have an ongoing daily yes to the Lord Jesus. To say, "I know your ways are better than my ways, so I submit to you today. I yield to you today. I want to obey you today. Show me the way as I walk with you." And as we do this, we get the joy. Remember, there's this love and then obedience and then joy. And this is part of the beauty of the Christian life. As we keep reading through the passage, we see that this joy includes being called friends of God, not servants. This isn't Jesus cracking a whip, right? It's Jesus as a friend coming alongside us, giving us joy, helping us to walk with him, helping us to obey him. He actually reveals more about himself as we walk with him, as the scripture says. And then in verse 16, it says that Jesus chose us. What an amazing thing this is. Chose us to have a fruitful life, to actually thrive in our circumstance, as difficult as it may be at times. How amazing this is. If we were just stuck in the obedience part of it, right? That would be very small thinking. If we were stuck in the obedience mindset that it's all up to me, I just have to obey, 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 try harder, keep the rules, and so on, that would be very small-minded. This is where we find people saying, well, what's the minimum I have to do to get into heaven? Like, can I just pray the prayer, but I don't want Jesus to rule in everything in my life. Can I just pray the prayer and get into heaven? Is that enough? That's a silly question. And this is where we find people saying, well, I think I've done enough. I don't need to, follow anymore, do any more with Jesus. If we're just in the obedience mindset. But the truth is, when the huge love of God through Jesus embraces us, motivates us, shapes us, when we receive the huge love of Jesus like this, we hear him say, do you want to know what my commands are for you? And I said, if you obey my commands, you remain in my love. You want to know what my command is for you? Verse 12. My command is this, love each other as I've loved you. If we miss it, we look at verse 17 again. This is my command. Love each other. Like, this is all over the scriptures. Galatians 5 and 6. What really matters is faith expressing itself through love. Bottom line, as the Father has loved Jesus, so Jesus loves you and me. And so he wants us to love one another in our worlds. Now, how do we do this? I have some practical suggestions here. First practical suggestion is this. We don't argue and divide over side issues. We keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus. The main thing is what is the love of God flowing through Jesus, Jesus giving his life up for us on the cross. We don't deserve it, but he gives his life up for us on the cross, pays the penalty for our sins, rises again with great power, sends the Holy Spirit to live within us, and says, I want to give you the power to live a new kind of life. We want to keep the main thing the main thing. Now, what could be some of the side issues that, we could argue over or divide us? How about Leafs versus Canadians? we're probably not that small, right? That we let that kind of thing divide us? How about this? The wearing of masks. Could this divide us? Could we have different opinions on this, and could we actually let this fracture our relationships? Could we let our reaction to COVID and our different views on vaccines, could we let that divide us? What about conspiracy theories that are online? These are not the main thing. These are side issues. The basis for our unity is Jesus Christ and what he's done for us on the cross. And in his powerful resurrection and his sending of his Holy Spirit, this is the foundation for our unity. This is the main thing. Now, I know that some churches have been fighting government and demanding their rights. Jesus did not fight the government, and he did not demand his rights. In fact, Jesus gave up his rights in order to serve and love others, didn't he? In fact, in verse 13, here's exactly what he says in this passage. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus gave up his rights in order to serve and love others. A quick prayer. Lord, help me not to be strident as I talk about this, okay? Not condemning of anyone. Why would I wear a mask? Why are we at Community Bible Church? Why are we sitting so far apart and just staying within the government regulations today? Do you know why? Because we want to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's Jesus and what he's done for us. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our goal is, how do we show the love of Jesus Christ for others? Why would I wear a mask? Because I don't mind giving up my rights, honestly. If I can help another person, serve another person, protect another person, I'm prepared to give up my rights because I want to keep the main thing about Jesus. Little story, a few years ago, there was a gathering of a whole bunch of leaders, Christian leaders from across Canada in Toronto, and somebody came from another country, okay, it was the country to our south, who was a little more militant, who came up and said, "My friends, it's time for brass knuckles Christianity. It's time for us to take our country back for Christianity. We have to use our power, collective power, to get our country back for God again. It's time for brass knuckles Christianity." And one of my friends was sitting there, Gord Martin. And after this guy had gone on for a while, he said, "Excuse me, this really bothers me. Can anyone here honestly see Jesus going around with brass knuckles?" Jesus gave up his rights in order to serve other people, to demonstrate the love of God, not with brass knuckles, not with fighting and arguing. And we want to lift Jesus Christ so high that people see the love of God shining through Jesus, shining out to all of us, and all of us loving one another. It's what we want to do. So how do we love? I'm going to finish up here with some practical suggestions. These are just possibilities. These are not new laws or new rules, okay? So here we go. How do we show the love of God in our world? Number one, we guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is Ephesians chapter 4. We're really careful of our words as we talk to each other. We're careful of our attitudes. We're gentle in the way we talk about one another. We remember, we don't let anger control us. We remember Jesus is right by our side. We say, "Yeah, but sometimes I get angry." And Jesus says, "I know that. We're going to go to work on that." Because a soft answer turns away wrath. Harsh words stir up more anger. One, we guard the unity of the Spirit. Number two, we find acts of kindness that we can do towards others. Not random acts of kindness, but planned acts of kindness where we ask the Holy Spirit, "How can I actually help somebody today? And how can I bless somebody in the way I live?" Might be words of encouragement or a phone call to somebody who's lonely or an email or a letter or whatever. We acts of kindness. The third thing is this. We give a gift. Maybe it's a little gift like bake some cookies and take them to a neighbor or something like this. Maybe it's a $10 Tim Hortons card. Or we want to find tangible ways to show the love of Jesus to the people around us. Number four, we take time to listen to others. What a beautiful gift that is, where we say, "Look, could we have a backyard visit or a porch visit or something like this?" And we just sit, and we have it. I'd like to really listen to you. And then we're quiet, and we ask the person, "How are you doing?" And we really listen. What a blessing that is. And then as we do this, number five, we pray for others, and we pray with others. You know, it's a way of saying, "You know, I was thinking of you. I just want to pray for you. I love you." And as we do this, we bring God into the conversation. And we just pray simply, "Lord, you've heard my friend talk about their issue. Jesus, would you help him at this time? In Jesus' name, I pray. Really simple. And number six is this. We speak Jesus' name. Maybe our friend is worried about COVID, and, you know, we say, well, yeah, I empathize with you. I'm kind of nervous about it too at times, but I'm really thankful for the peace that Jesus gives me in the midst of this. I'm really thankful. So I have a Christian friend who told me a story last week, actually, who said he was talking with one of his friends who's not a Christian, and he just wanted to drop the name Jesus into the conversation, so somehow he did. And this guy, they ended up talking about Jesus coming back to earth. Are we ready to meet him? And the other guy was kind of dismissive of this, and my Christian friend said, well, you know what? Maybe you're not ready to meet Jesus. The guy kind of looked at him, and that was kind of the end of the conversation. And sometime later, some weeks later, the guy called up the Christian friend and he said, what do you mean I'm not ready to meet Jesus? How am I supposed to be ready to meet Jesus? And his Christian buddy shared with him about what Jesus has done on the cross to forgive his sins. If he'll believe in Jesus and receive him and turn to Jesus, he'll be ready to meet Jesus. Oh, it all starts with God loving Jesus, Jesus loving you and me, and us loving one another. Lord, would you help us as we listen to your word this morning, as we listen to you speaking to us through your Holy Spirit, through your beautiful words, Lord Jesus. As the Father has loved you, Jesus, so you love us right now. And you ask us to remain in the circle of your love by loving one another, by walking with you. We ask you to help us as we struggle with our own issues to want to obey you, to love to obey you, because this is the best way to go. And we pray this morning for those who do not know the experience of the love of God through Jesus like this. Those who have not opened up their hearts to Jesus and said, oh, I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need your direction. I need you to show me the way in this life. I need the life that you bring. Forgive me. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I want to follow you. Would you help them to pray that prayer this morning and to follow this up, to follow you, Lord Jesus, with their whole life? So, walk with us, we pray. Father, as you have loved Jesus, Jesus, you've loved us. Help us to love one another and to really remain in your love as we obey you. And to have your joy, your amazing joy. We give you our thanks today in Jesus' name. Amen.